Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my Blog Talk listeners out there. This is Chocolate Lady 64. And if you didn't get a chance to read what the show is going to be about tonight, I'm just going to reiterate it a little bit. We're going to talk about now that the tables are turned when it comes to politics, when it comes to the government, when it comes to the House and the Senate, how is everything going to be now? How do you think things are going to turn out now? So tonight what I want to do is probably play some excerpts from MSNBC, since, you know, everybody seems to have so much to say. You know, oh my God, our president lost. But you know what? It's not even about that, because I always keep saying the last word is by God. God makes the last decision, and he dots the last I and crosses the last T on everything. So I want to first play something. I think his name is Mike McConnell, said that he's going to make President Obama a one-term president. I don't know what he means by that, but I don't think that was fair for him to say that, but we'll find out. Excuse me. So what I want to do is play you an excerpt real quick here.
White House correspondent Chuck Todd with us tonight with that story. Hey, Chuck, good evening.
Well, good evening, Brian. That's right. That post-election detente, well, it lasted all of about 24 hours. As today, the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, made it clear to the White House his focus is on 2012. President Obama used his first post-midterm election cabinet meeting to talk about lessons from his party's Tuesday drubbing.
And they want to change the tone here in Washington, where the two parties are coming together and focusing on the people's business as opposed to scoring political points.
He said he's serious about developing a, quote, better working relationship with the Republican congressional leadership. But 2 hours later, across town, at the conservative think tank Heritage Foundation, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell spoke of a different mandate.
If our primary legislative goals are to repeal and replace the health spending bill, to end the bailouts, cut spending, and shrink the size and scope of government, the only way to do all of those things is to put someone in the White House who won't veto any of these things.
The two messages from President Obama and McConnell today couldn't have been more different.
If the administration wants cooperation, it will have to begin to move in our direction.
What we need to do is make sure that everybody's pulling together, Democrats and Republicans and independents.
McConnell also used his speech to shore up his standing with Tea Party conservatives, like South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint. The two senators were on opposite sides in quite a few Republican Senate primaries during the campaign, including in McConnell's home state of Kentucky, where the Tea Party pick, Rand Paul, defeated McConnell's candidate. In an interview with the National Journal, DeMint said he was satisfied with McConnell and his team for now, but did hint that he won't be a bystander. He said, any leadership changes will be a year or two down the road, I suspect. We just need to change our focus from the appropriations process to one of creating national policy.
The leaders in the House and the Senate, the incoming leaders in the House and the Senate, the Republican leaders, everything they do, they got to do while they're looking over their shoulder, their right shoulder at the Tea Party movement.
Now, the president officially invited the speaker to be John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, plus the Democratic leadership over to the White House for more than just a photo op. He said he's hoping to have dinner with him. He comes back from Asia. And quickly, Brian, a little election news overtime. That is, in the state of Illinois, the president's home state, he went 1-for-2. Pat Quinn, the appointed governor who got it, he now won a full term on his own over Republican Bill Brady, very narrowly. But he won a little feather in the cap for the president after what's been a tough election week.
And we still wait for two big Senate races. Chuck Todd at the White House tonight. Chuck, thanks.
Okay. You hear or you heard what Mr. Mike McConnell said.
I grew up on TV with this restaurant.
I'm sorry. A little problem there. You heard what he said, and he doesn't really care how, I guess, everybody else feels. You know, they're out for blood when it comes to President Obama. So, what do you guys think can be done differently now that the Republicans, have put in their mind that they want to get rid of the president? I don't think it's going to be as easy as they think it is to do that. I really believe, that there are going to be some problems. And McConnell doesn't, if he doesn't want to work with him, I'm quite sure that there's going to be others that will work with him. I really believe that. This was kind of a letdown, to be honest with you. It really was a letdown that we've lost a lot of seats. But I think we can overcome it. I think that we can, I think we can do it. I think things are going to be different. I think it's going to be interesting. I really do. But I think things are going to work itself out. If it's meant for it to happen, it's going to happen. And there's nothing we can do. We sit and we want to cry and whine and get upset. To be honest with you, we really shouldn't be getting upset because a change had to come some kind of way, you know? So what I want to do now is I want you guys to hear Representative John Boehner's comment where it says after the GOP surge. So I'm going to play this for you. Sorry, playing the commercial first.
Introducing new Charmin Ultra Soft. New Charmin Ultra Soft has an ultra cushiony design that's soft and more absorbent, so you can use four times less versus the leading value brand. Using less never felt so good. New Charmin Ultra Soft. Enjoy the go.
Good evening, and about last night, what were the voters across this country trying to say? Well, they split up the government. They made it very clear they don't like the way things are being run. That means the president, that means the Democrats, the government as a whole, and the U.S. economy most of all. Some veteran office holders are packing up and going home, and some newcomers are coming to Washington. Our team is here, reassembled on no sleep, and we begin our reporting this new night with our political director, Chuck Todd. What a night it was, Chuck.
That's for sure. Look, the day after an election is all about defining what the meaning is out of the elections. Well, it was done at dueling press conferences today, from President Obama to Republican speaker-to-be John Boehner. Triumphant Republicans made it clear they intend to reset the agenda.
Well, the American people spoke, and I think it's pretty clear that the Obama-Pelosi agenda is being rejected by the American people. They want, as I said last night, they want the president to change course. And I think it's changed course we will.
While a chastened president tried to put the best face he could on the results.
Every election, regardless of who wins and who loses, is a reminder that in our democracy, power rests not with those of us in elected office, but with the people we have the privilege to serve.
Asked repeatedly what went wrong for Democrats, Mr. Obama accepted some responsibility.
I think the overwhelming message that I hear from the voters is that we want everybody to act responsibly in Washington. We want you to work harder to arrive at consensus. We want you to focus completely on jobs and the economy and growing it. Done.
And he admitted his campaign promise to change Washington fell short.
We were in such a hurry to get things done that we didn't change how things got done. And I think that frustrated people.
But Republican John Boehner, poised to become Speaker of the House, said the anti-Washington message goes much deeper.
I think it's a mandate for Washington to reduce the size of government and continue our fight for a smaller, less costly, and more accountable government.
Boehner is a 20-year veteran of Congress from suburban Cincinnati, known to wear his emotions on his sleeve, like last night.
I've spent my whole life chasing the American dream.
His first challenge as Speaker will be to bridge the perceived divide between the so-called establishment wing of the GOP and the newly elected Tea Party representative. He is no stranger to insurgency. Here's first-term Representative Boehner, one of the Gang of Seven, a cadre of young Republican conservatives from 1991 who used paper bags over their heads to demonstrate their embarrassment at Washington. As for President Obama today, he showed new willingness to compromise on several issues, including extending all of the so-called Bush tax cuts.
How that negotiation works itself out, I think it's too early to say. We're not going to play brinksmanship, but instead we're going to act responsibly.
And the president became uncharacteristically self-reflective, with Bill Clinton's portrait peering over his shoulder. The president even invoked Clinton and Ronald Reagan by name and their tough midterm defeats for their political parties in 1982 and 1994, and he was very blunt about yesterday's losses.
Now, I'm not recommending for every future president that they take a shellacking like I did last night. I'm sure there are easier ways to learn these lessons.
Now, the president did a similar conference call today with supporters and donors, and he said, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We had a tough night, President. Friday leaves for Asia for a 10-day trip. He's got to do a few things, a G20 meeting, the Asian Economic Meeting. But before he goes, he's going to tape another national television interview, 60 Minutes on Sunday, where we'll hear more about his reflections on this election, Brian. Remarkable day after a remarkable night.
All right. That, as you can see, that was him. Basically,
the snow
talking
angel.
About
the parachute.
How they feel President Obama is needing to open up and pay more attention to what's going on with the American people. As we can see, the economy is number one. The job loss, all these people out of work, what are we doing to create jobs? And he might be just like he said, might not be moving fast enough. I mean, these companies, these banks and everything that we gave stimulus to should be doing a lot of growth. They should have been doing a lot of hiring and making sure that people were working. But I think he got turned around and people took full advantage. Corporations, companies, whoever the government gave the stimulus bill to, stimulus money to, took advantage of it and, hey, said, okay, we got our business going. Looking over at the next person, you got to get yours. I mean, hey, you know. And I think that's what happened, and nobody was giving back. And in the process of not giving back, you know, this is what happened. Also, we have to keep in mind that a lot of jobs are overseas. I mean, you think about it, and this has been going on for a while, way before Obama came into office, where our jobs, little by little, are being outsourced to overseas companies. I mean, get on the phone, customer service. Half the time, the people you're talking to cannot even pronounce half of the words in English, but they struggle and they get by and they answer your phone. I mean, they answer your questions. I mean, look at all the companies. I mean, I'm quite sure you can name a vast majority of the companies and the customer service that we deal with on a daily basis just by buying stuff and asking questions and stuff, the orders you put in. When you can hear that those jobs are not here in the United States. You got Indonesia, you got Cambodia, you got these jobs all over the world now. So the American people want to turn around and blame President Obama for it,
when this was going on, when Clinton was in office, because I think the NAFTA bill, if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, but the NAFTA bill was signed when President Clinton was in office, not when Obama was in office. I mean, President Obama was in office. So the outsourcing didn't it seems like it increased when President Obama came in. That's what it seems like it increased, you know, and all the excuses these businesses are making, we can do better, cheaper, you know. These are excuses, and you know what they say about Americans. We're spoiled. We think we deserve all of this and that, and that's the reason why we're going through what we're going through, because we are a spoiled, arrogant, cocky country. And the rest of the world really is tired of the way that we portray ourselves. You know, we're like bullies. And the rest of the world is kind of tired. But in the same token, the way our economy is affects the rest of the world. So they're needing us just as much as we need them, you know? So we have to, I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to take all of this, because I'm kind of getting over it. And it depends on what is going on in Congress, what bills have to be passed. All of that plays a big part in how we see things and how things are going to be. Because I think a lot is not going to change by 2012. I just don't. Maybe it's just me, but I just don't see a lot being changed right off the bat, because there's going to be a lot of fighting among them, because they're not going to do a lot of changing right off the bat, even though they say they are. I don't see it. I don't see it. I'm trying to look for, I had it up here. I'm trying to look for the discussion when Mr. Moore was saying that Obama has to get tougher. That's what I was looking for. Let me see if I can find it. He's going to have to get tougher. He's going to have to, you know, roll up his sleeves. And start working harder. And don't just, you know, take somebody else's. Just like they were talking about, you know, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to see something here. Ooh, excuse me, you guys. I don't know why. I feel like I want to go to sleep. You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing, and I'm going to start apologizing, because I don't need to apologize anymore, because I'm entitled to make mistakes. Excuse me. I want to find the article. Oh, that is crazy. That is crazy. I cannot find it. What I was looking for, you guys. Let's see. Let's see if I've gotten it here. Let me mad that I can't bring it up. Okay, let's see here. Hold on, you guys. I'm coming. Let me do this. Let me play some music for a second until I find what I'm looking for. Just one moment.
Your hand in mine, oh please be kind.
okay, you guys? I don't know if I found it yet. Just hear a little bit more.
Not more. President Obama
out of necessity, responded to a financial crisis with unprecedented government intervention into the economy. He has defended that, but he has not really taken accountability for what the judgment was from the American people as a result. But there was almost a sense of irritation that the public may be so impatient. John Stewart about a week ago, which was, I would still campaign saying, yes, we can, but, and the but is, things are not going to change overnight. So it's that impatience with that desire for quick results that still seems to be weighing on it.
Just real quick, in 20 or 30 seconds left there, how does the president pick himself up, dust himself off, and get back at it?
I think he has got to have a narrow area where he's going to decide, where am I going to compromise with Republicans? There's got to be some give. There's also got to be some shove. The president's going to decide where he's still going to call Republicans out on where they're going to make the tough choices and the tough votes, because that's where he's going to get his groove back.
All right, David Gregory, also in Washington for us this morning. David, thanks as always.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, did you hear what Mr. Gregory said? Now, I saw something else that caught my eye. They were talking about... Hold on, I'm just sorry.
The press, he's been following the events all night long, and I didn't even...
They were talking about, how the Tea Party is basically the elephant in the room, and I think this is very interesting, too, to talk about. I never thought about it like that, but I'm going to see what he says. Give me 1 second here. Okay.
Eastern time, 7:30 on the West Coast. And by the way, if our projection holds, I'm being told it'll be the fewest number of Democrats in the House in 64 years. Let's look at our projection for the House of Representatives. Tonight's big story thus far, change in control. From Republicans to Democrats, they needed 39, they'll get that, and then some. And then there's the Senate, where they needed going into tonight 10 seats. They'd have to completely run the board to do that now, though an evening up in the U.S. Senate, those two white squares in the middle, are independents who, when it comes time to pick a party to caucus with, side with the Democrats. David Gregory, this means a bit of a split political personality now in Washington and in this country. The voters are speaking, and a turn to the right by necessity. What do we mean by right in this case?
Well, it really is a big story. I mean, the elephant in the room tonight is the Tea Party.
Is the elephant.
That is the elephant, and it is, to Tom's point earlier, it is a Tea Party that doesn't want to be a third party. It wants to rehabilitate the Republican Party. This is no longer President George Bush's Republican Party. You go back to 2006. How many people identified themselves as conservative? That number was at 32%. Tonight we're learning it's at 41%. And look who's going to Washington. Marco Rubio from Florida, Tea Party backed. Rand Paul in Kentucky, Tea Party backed. Maybe Sharon Engel from Nevada. Mike Lee, who upended an establishment figure in Bob Bennett in Utah. What's happening to rural Democrats who are more conservative Democrats? It's a bloodbath for them in the South and the Midwest. So much more conservative, small government Republicans now going to Washington, Brian, with a very clear-eyed agenda, which is that government's got to get smaller, less interventionist, and government spending really needs to have a good whack taken to it. Look at Paul Ryan. Marks over the budget. That's going to be the big fight now.
Okay. Now, with all that being said, what do you think the Federal Reserve is going to be doing? That's my question. How is the Federal Reserve taking this? Let's see what the Federal Reserve is saying. And I think we should see what they're saying about the change. God.
see what they're going to tell us. Oh, let's see. I think that's very, very strange. Huh. You didn't answer my question. Let's try this again. Sorry, you guys. Trying to get some information that seems to don't want to show up on here. Because I know today I was watching and I saw that the Dow stock soared. So I think that's a good thing, hopefully. So let's see. Bernanke says. Okay, according to this article, it says Bill Gross will be one of the few to benefit from the Federal Reserve's announcement this afternoon. And this is an article that was, I'm trying to figure out, was this article, oh, that was today, yesterday, I'm sorry. Yeah, this article is from yesterday. And it says Bill Gross will be one of the few to benefit from the Federal Reserve's announcement this afternoon. The legendary money manager who oversees more than $1.2 trillion at Pacific Investment Management Company stands to profit off the plan hatched by the nation's central bank. The Fed announced that it will buy between $850 to $9 billion of U.S. government debt, also known as treasuries, through June to spur the recovery. Over the coming months, the Fed will then communicate its specific plans well ahead of just 1 second. You guys had to answer that. Okay. Where, in June, okay, it says, June, to spur the recovery over the coming months, the Fed will then communicate its specific plans well ahead of any such purchases, allowing wealthy investors and firms to a chance to buy those assets first so that they can sell it back to the Fed at a profit. Folks like Gross will be the biggest beneficiaries. Isn't that something? When it comes to helping Wall Street and corporate America, the Federal Reserve spares no expense. Because you know why? Because we are totally in debt. Reserves. Isn't that something? It's expanded its authority and bailed out securities and insurance firms. It tethered the main interest rate to zero. It more than doubled its balance sheet to $2.3 trillion by purchasing mortgages, linked securities, and U.S. government debt to arrest the free-falling economy and jolt it back to life. The nation's central bank has engaged in an unprecedented campaign to ensure banks have cash and corporation access to credit. That part has worked. The economy is progressing through a slow, though not entirely visible, recovery. Employers are gradually adding workers to their payrolls. Industrial production is rising, as is personal consumption. The economy is slowly growing. The problem is that the Fed's actions have served to help just a small but powerful constituency, Wall Street.
and the firms that do the most business on it. Isn't that something? Very interesting. The rising tide the Fed ushered in with hopes that it would lift all boats hasn't materialized. Now, on the verge of another round of asset purchases and other steps in order to further bring down the cost of credit, questions are being raised just who exactly the Fed would help. Ask Thursday how he did so well in the past 18 months, growth, who runs PIMCO, $252.2 billion total return fund, told Bloomberg Television that in addition to a variety of other investments, he's made money from mortgages, yes, in terms of buying them in front of the Fed and selling them to the Fed over a 6 to 12 month period of time. Well, translation, the man who runs the world's biggest bond fund is profiting from buying securities he knows the Fed will eventually want and then selling them to the Feds at a premium. Meanwhile, families are being devastated by historic unemployment and record home foreclosure rates. Households and small businesses can't get credit. A quarter of homeowners with a mortgage owe more on that debt than the home is worth. Borrowers are declaring bankruptcy in near record numbers. Now, it says, in my darkest moments, I have begun to wonder if the monetary accommodation we have already engineered might even be working in the wrong places. Richard W. Fisher, president of the Fed Bank of Dallas, said last month before a gathering of economists, in New York, as a part of its legal mandate, the Fed is required to pursue policies over a long term that lead to maximum employment, stable prices, and moderate long-term interest rates. But the extraordinary steps taken to battle the Great Recession's persistently high unemployment rate, like buying treasury, mortgage-backed securities, and the debt of mortgage giant Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac, haven't been enough. So, as you can see, can you believe this company is $252 trillion? Mr. Groves owns a company that's worth $252.2 trillion. It's called PIMCO. Mr. Tim just walked in here with me, and I know he has something to say from what I just read about the Fed Reserve and how they're handling the election and the results of the election. And we find out that the Republicans, they got a house and the Dems got a house. So, and how President Obama is going to be able to work with both of them to make sure America is getting what they need as far as job growth, the economy. And it is slowly but surely making it up the way that it needs to, but it's not fast enough for the people. And I think, to me, and I'll be honest with you, I think the people, he's only been in office 2 years. It's been 2 years now, almost. It's been 2 years. And they're looking for all these miracles to happen, and it's not there. And they're impatient. And I think that has a lot to do with the economy. I mean, with the American people, we're very microwave people. We want everything instantly to happen. And it's hurt us, and it hurt the election, because I'm going to see how the Republicans are going to handle how quick in the next 2 years that they can just take a magic wand and wipe over the whole issues of our economy, money, recession, the whole nine. I want to see how they're going to handle it in the next 2 years, because we already know there's going to be a lot of infighting with the Republicans, because guess what? The elephant in the room is the Tea Party, and they've got to be able to sway one way or the other, because they're the ones who's going to be making sure that the Republicans are at odds with each other. So you know there's going to be a lot of infighting on the Republican side. What the Democrats should do is stay together, make decisions, stick to them. If there need to be some compromising, make sure the compromising is not hurting the people.
That's how I think about it. What do you think, Mr. Kent? No comment on that, Mr. Kent? Oh, Mr. Kent is speechless. I'm surprised. That's not always the way he does things. But and I really think that we all need to really, really, really pay attention to what's going to happen in the next 2 years. And the ideal, and I keep trying to, I'm going back to what McCollum said, the ideal that he wants to make President Obama a one-term president. You know, that's like a threat. Right now is not the time for all of that. I mean, he has the right to his opinion, but the idea that he's just like downright just saying that is like he's got a plan of action already in place to make sure that whatever President Obama put on the table for them to vote on, they're going to automatically veto it. You know, that's not right now. That's really not important to a certain extent. I think we should concentrate on trying to fix our problem and not trying to, you know, get revenge. Because it sounds like a lot of this stuff is revenge, you know. And Republicans of all people, you know, they got the bigger end of the stick on a lot of things. And I think a lot of them, they've gotten elected into those positions. They've got to show and prove, too, because they're howling about we're going to get America back, give America back to their people. Okay, I hear make sure that they do get it back. You know, are you going to be lining your pockets with your earmarks and, you know, what are you going to put together yourself to make sure that the jobs are flowing and the economy is going great? What are you going to do other than going after the president and, you know, and being revengeful and spiteful? I think we don't have time for that. We're in a very serious situation here, and regardless of who's in office or who's in a seat, we still need to take care of the people of America because that's what we put you in there to do. Now, when I was looking at the map of the United States, when they were showing the graph of how many Republicans now have, you know, states have taken over, majority of the states in the United States, they've taken over a big hunk right now. So they need to do what they have to do for their states and make sure while they're serving that they do what they're supposed to do, since they claim that the Democrats haven't done anything. Okay, now the ball is in their court. How well are you going to work with the president to make sure that we have job growth, that we have the economy growing? You know, what are you going to do? You know, since you're saying, oh, we're going to take the people back and we're going to do, okay, show me. I can hear it all day long. I'm about, show me. Show me what's going on. Show me what you can do. You know, what are you going to do? And to be honest with you, since you guys seem to put President Obama in a spot like that, you should do the same. We should do the same for you, simply because simply because the ideal that we definitely have to keep that in mind, because if we don't, then we're going to have problems. Now, we're going to see what you're going to do. We're going to see what you're going to do. You know, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to try to keep up with majority of the bills and stuff that get passed in the Senate to see how the Republicans fight against everything President Obama says he's going to do, or whatever bill that needs to be passed. We need to not fight and sit down and compromise with it. And I mean, we've got to stop doing it on the selfish level. We need to do it where everybody is going to benefit. And you know, you guys, I'm kind of upset in a sense, because I feel like you guys are not giving him a chance. What he had to do was an emergency. When he came into office, there was a big mess already. He had to take some dire steps to make sure that things could be a little bit balanced.
No, it didn't work completely out, but it did help out some. Okay? So because of what he did and the drastic measures he took to get at least half of something going, you know, you guys want to throw him under the bus. And a lot of you states, believe it or not, have, including my own, have thrown President Obama under the bus. You know, but anybody else, you got to look what Bush did. Bush did it for 8 years, two terms. Bush did it. And none of you guys stepped up and threw him under the bus. But now all of a sudden now we're doing President Obama. We're going to make him a one term. And you've got past presidents that did worse than he did, you know. But you allow all the other presidents to get away with, what you say, murder, economic murder. But when President Obama tries to do something, then there's a problem with that. You know, I'm sorry. I think a lot of this has nothing to do with politics. I think a lot of these decisions that were made were personal. I really do. It was a personal attack on our president. And I don't think that was right. I really do. I really don't think that was right. But the people have spoken, quote unquote, excluding me because I didn't vote for none of them. But the people have spoken for each state, and I noticed that majority, like I said, we have a big hunk now that are Republican. A lot of people voted Republican. They had an opportunity to make a difference, you know, after, you know, the first election with the president being put in place. You know, they had an opportunity with midterms coming around. They took advantage of it, you know, because a lot of people were not happy that he was president in the first place. So we are fickle people. I'll tell you like that. United States people are very fickle, you know, because they're not moving, and it's our way of thinking. We're greedy, hungry, arrogant people, excuse me, not leaving out bullying. I'm not leaving out cockiness, and we have this microwave mentality, and that's the reason why we're like we are. But I say to each and every Republican out there, and I'm hoping you're listening to me, I want you, since you're in a seat now, I want you to make sure that you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that when you start pointing fingers, remember there is two fingers, excuse me, there is a finger pointing back at you, okay? Well, actually, I'm sorry, it's four fingers pointing back at you. Well, it's two fingers, three fingers, and a thumb that's pointing back at you while you're pointing at the president and the Democrats. Let's see what you're going to do, because you know what? If I think that something is not right, I'm going to say what I have to say, especially when I come back on my show, because I'm going to watch this, and I really want to see this dramatic change that's going to happen in the next 2 years. I really want to see it because I don't see it. I don't see it now. I want to see it actually happen. I really, really want to see this drastic change that the Republicans are going to do, okay? Because it's up to you guys now that you're in the House to see how you're going to handle all the problems and the situations that President Obama had to do. When y'all come to the table, think of the American people. That's all I'm saying. Put your personal feelings toward everything in your back pockets, in your briefcase, in your clutches, whatever you want to call it, and think about what the American people want. And American people out there, this is not a microwave government. This is not a microwave way of life. We have to understand things take time, and we have to be patient, okay? We definitely have to be patient. A lot of things is not President Obama's fault. A lot of things is not his fault. Things happened for a reason. So it's up to us to be patient, okay? And remember this, as long as the Tea Party, Republicans, listen, as long as there is a Tea Party, you guys got to bust your butt, okay? Now, the Tea Party. To all you Tea Partiers, you've made a decision. You guys got four of you guys, if I'm not mistaken, were elected into positions. okay, you guys holler you want to give the government back to the people or whatever, you've got to show improve in your areas too. You're not excluded or omitted from this. You guys are part of the challenge too. I'm going to be seeing what you guys are doing for the next 2 years. Since we have somebody that has President Obama on the time schedule, I'm going to make sure he's going to be a one-term president. You guys, I will involve technical difficulties that I incurred and any outside noises that you hear. I apologize for that. Eventually, I'm going to get a better place to do my radio show. I need to be in a soundproof area. Right now, I'm not in that. But I want to say I want to thank you guys for listening. And you know where you can catch me every Thursday. Blog Talk Radio. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. And I'm sorry I did not give out the number to call in tonight. I was kind of making sure I had everything right, and I do that from time to time, and I apologize. So the next time we get on live, you guys can call in and give me some of your comments. I'm not really political, but I think I need to be for right now, for the next quote-unquote 2 years. Pay more attention to what's going on in politics. I do it on my own on a personal basis, but as far as letting you guys know, maybe I need to do this more often, talk about politics, because I really like politics. I think it's interesting in the way that we're being robbed in America. But anyway, I want to say thank you very much, you guys. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. And see you next Thursday. Same time, same bat channel. Good night.